Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Oh, people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
The drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the freaks, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the dipper dots.
Move to the music, play the music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to an episode of DWI After Dark. It's been a long time. Usually it's myself and the mic man from Days of Old, which you may see that coming again. But it is another off-schedule DWI podcast with none other than... I'm a drunken, slutty podcaster. He's a drunken, slutty podcaster with a much better beard. From the Mindless Wrestling.
We slut it up.
Yeah, from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, my brother, DJ. How are you, DJ? How was your afternoon enjoying this podcast overall?
Oh, enjoying the WWE Premium Live event. Had a blast, man. I'm glad, honestly, this one was in midday because I had a shit night's sleep last night. I've been up since like 4 a.m. So there was no way I was going to make it through a nighttime live event.
I said podcast, didn't I? Instead of
you did.
Yeah.
You did. It's all right. It's all right. We're gonna have to handhold each other through
this
one.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm not that bad. I've been drinking pretty heavily though. Watching it, it's funny though. I did have a lot to eat. I was up really early like yourself. I made it through SmackDown last night, and I was having a couple drinks after a long week, and then I met my dad for breakfast this morning. But the place we were going to didn't open till 8 o'clock. I woke up at 5:15. Do you know how hungry I was when I pulled into the parking lot at 8 o'clock?
Probably ready to chew your arm off.
Oh, man. And then, you know, he's one of those guys, he tells the waitress to go away two times before we take the order, you know, so.
Your stomach's trying to eat itself.
We had a good time. We had a good time. So how's things by you going so far?
It's been a rough week for me too, for a lot of personal and professional reasons. So I was glad to just kind of unwind, watch some wrestling, and just kick all that other shit out of my head for a little while.
Well, the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, apparently we're going to get a morning pay-per-view from the WWE from Saudi called the Queen of the Ring. So if you enjoyed starting to, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning, brothers and sisters.
There you go.
Oh, man. All right, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to tell you to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check yourself out. A bunch of nice designs and sayings and great, beautiful T-shirts from thechairshot.com. Always use your head. And just a reminder, you can find all of our wonderful podcasts all over your favorite streaming platforms, Chairshot Radio Network. Check them out. Everything from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the Attitude of Aggression Big Four Podcast. We've been rolling on that one, DJ. And, of course, Bandwagon Nerds in the midst of some superhero madness, a 64 superhero tournament that started in March and, much like the NBA Finals, is dragging out into the summer. But we're having a good time over there. Check that out every Monday morning. But for now, we're going to take a commercial, and when we come back, we're going to get into this 5-match card where, quite possibly, where there were some amazing matches, the crowd could have been the star. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DWI 429. Do not drink and drive. Drink like I did today and then podcast with one of your bestest friends, good old DJ from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the beautifully bearded man himself with a wonderful insight into professional wrestling that he has. I enjoy working with him. DJ, let's get it going. KO and Orton, Solo, Tama Tonga. I tweeted out, after an amazing entrance from KO in his own right, I literally did have the goose bumps from Randy Orton's entrance.
We got to talk for just a minute about Randy Orton, because he's a guy who early on in his career, I didn't see the vision with. I just didn't like it. And it was, I was at a weird point in my fandom because I was still hung over from The Rock and Stone Cold. So I saw him and John Cena as like great value, Rock and Stone Cold. So I kind of checked out on those guys. What an amazing career that guy has, and what an amazing legacy he's leaving behind when he finally hangs it up. And to see that crowd out there, just like, how often does anybody sing the entire song? And they were out there singing for Randy Orton, man.
I think Randy Orton transcends a little bit. He is... He's higher, no pun, well, pun intended, sure. He's higher on the food chain than everybody else in the business right now. He is more legendary than anybody else that he's working with, period.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's the only one left from that era.
Right.
John Cena's largely gone.
Yeah.
You know, Undertaker obviously is retired. Triple H can't go anymore. Batista's moved on to acting. Randy Orton's like the lone soldier from the Ruthless Aggression era.
You know how they say in different sports, different fandoms are like very knowledgeable and respectful fans? Like, that's how this crowd was today. This crowd knew who they were supposed to respect and pay homage to and things of that nature. It's kind of like, I hate to give Patrick O'Dowd in one of his fandoms props, but like St. Louis Cardinals fans are known for being really good baseball fans. Like, they appreciate an opponent, spectacular defensive play and things of that nature. But I felt that's kind of how this crowd was in France.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a great match to start the show. I wouldn't have picked a better one. What do you think of Tagaloa showing up and joining the new bloodline, quote unquote?
Boy, they got us, because all the streets, yeah, and the sheets were saying, you know, Jacob Fatu for the last 7 days. And we all, man, hook, line, and sinker, they got all of us. And then this, you know, this happens, and we're all just kind of standing there like, holy crap, man, they got us. That being said, the match itself was fun. Like, it started off as an absolute melee. These guys just trying to tear each other apart. Nick Aldis comes out, turns the whole thing into a street fight, and we got some really good stuff out of this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, like, already everybody's like Usos and Guerrillas of Destiny. There was mentions of guerrilla warfare and the word destiny immediately after all of this by Cole and Graves. I want all of it. It's just making me want the Bloodline Civil War even more.
Right. One thing that I really liked about this match, a lot of times when WWE brings in new talent, they start this new talent off in NXT because there's a concern that even though they've got an indie reputation or, you know, a reputation elsewhere, that they may have a hard time transitioning to the main roster and the presentation there. Tama didn't feel out of place at all. Like, he really didn't. He looked like he belonged there. He looked good. I'm really excited to see where they go with this.
I mean, Tagovailoa looked really good too, doing the interruption and like, yes, feeling like, hey, I'm muscle to back this up, and I knew this could happen. It's crazy because you think about how we closed a gigantic chapter in the Bloodline, but here we are and it's still the biggest storyline in wrestling. I'm sorry, Cody fans, but like, this Bloodline thing is still bigger to me than the Cody storyline.
It's still drawing the ratings too. Like, it's still the highest drawing rating. So unless I'm mistaken, I'm pretty sure I'd have to get with my co-host, the Deacon of Data, Rob.
Oh, yes.
I'm pretty sure it's still doing massive numbers for them, even with, you know, Solo being the quote-unquote questionable tribal chief at the moment.
Somebody tweeted out or X posted a lot of these people in question of their background are sending out to 23andMe, checking if they have any Samoan in them.
Yeah, I saw that. All the indie wrestlers right now are going.
Yeah. The indie wrestlers with any question of their background history. Let's keep it moving here. Bayley defending her newly won championship from WrestleMania against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. And talk about what a couple of contenders to have to deal with. People that are on a roll. Naomi with her comeback, Tiffany Stratton, like the things she's been doing lately. I mean, it got me the most, the French and their accent singing and chanting American things. I wish when they chanted French things, though, that like Cole and Graves would have been told what they were saying so that they could have told us, because sometimes they were chanting in French still and I had no idea. But anyway, Tiffany Stratton, Tiffy time. It was Tiffy time, Tiffy time, Tiffy time. And I thought that was absolutely adorable from the French crowd.
This match, I tell you what, man, two premium live events in a row, Bayley's match just this shy of stealing the show for me. All three women look like they belong. Tiffany Stratton, can't say enough good things about her. What a transition into the main roster. Definitely not looking less than. She kept up with Bayley. She kept up with Naomi, who, to her credit, looks absolutely phenomenal. This match was a lot of fun.
You talk about two matches in a row, and this one had to follow that first match. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and to still go out there and turn out like they did, incredible work.
Yeah, I mean, the first two, this hour of WWE content rates up there against any hour of WWE content possibly ever.
It's pretty close, at least in the last, you know, recent memory.
Right.
Because the first match was just all out mayhem and chaos and violence.
Awesome.
And then this, there was just a lot of slick wrestling going on.
Not to go backwards here, but that first match, when they changed it into a street fight, I thought it was brilliant because the fact that they knew they wanted a street fight, but they just had kind of a street fight recently, so they didn't announce it as a street fight and found a way to do it anyway.
Yeah, and that's a neat little surprise.
Right.
Because you're expecting a straight-up tag team match, and then you get a street fight. I like stuff like that.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more there. So Bayley is going to continue. Where do you see her going from here? Do you think Tiffy possibly gets another shot? Is she on SmackDown? See, now I'm going to have a whole adjustment period. Now I'm going to have to figure out who's on what brand again.
Yeah, I would have to go back and listen to this week's Mindless Wrestling podcast. We talked about the draft. We went down the SmackDown roster and the Raw roster. I don't remember where Tiffy landed at the moment. I look for her and Naomi to continue to feud, and I think Nia Jax, who is definitely now on SmackDown and assaulted Bayley the other night, I think Nia Jax is Bayley's next mountain to climb.
Good call there. Good call. That's at The Mindless Pod on X-Force every Saturday morning on Chairshot Radio Network and on YouTube at The Mindless Pod as well.
The Mindless Wrestling Podcast is on YouTube. We're on the Book of Face. We're all over the socials.
The Book of Face. Well done. All right, you get a dinger for that one, too. The Book of Face. Okay.
I'm racking up the bell rings here. This is great.
I heard YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook were going to combine.
I hope not.
It was going to be called You Twit Face.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah. All right. Priest. Defending his title against Jey Uso. I think a lot of people wanted to see Jey Uso, myself included, win here. The crowd was definitely so over for Jey. Jey is like probably one of the most fan interactive people over. I mean, not only are they chanting, but they're waving their hands up and down too.
They're doing the yeet.
What a good match. What a good match.
It was. This one was a contrast of styles, though, because if you think of the chaos and the absolute violence of the first match, the frenetic pace of the second match, you get into the third match, and they had more of a slow, methodical kind of, because that's Priest's style, is, you know, more methodical and, you know, slow it down a little bit. But all in all, I thought they had a good match. I think at some point Jey Uso's going to get there, but right now is Priest's time, and with everything going on with the Judgment Day, that championship is kind of integral to that storyline. So while I don't think Jey Uso is going to get there just tonight, I never doubted that tonight would be Damian Priest's night.
The point you brought up is why DP did not pick Jey Uso while AJ and I did. I think AJ did because I kind of convinced him with my passion for wanting Jey to win. Even though I think my head and DP knowing as well in saying that, you know, he said if Rhea was still champion, he could totally see it. And maybe that was okay. The plan, right? But like you just said, and you had said, it's too important to the Judgment. Otherwise, the Judgment Day doesn't mean anything now. They have
right.
They have no championships and a Klingon-headed boy. What are they to do?
Well, the other thing you got to look at is sometimes with these stories and people hitting that payoff, the timing is everything. And you got to make people want it just enough. And right now, people are like in a frenzy for Jey Uso. But you look at the Cody Rhodes story, a lot of people felt like Cody Rhodes should have won at WrestleMania 39. But how much bigger of a payoff did they get waiting a year? Oh. I'm not suggesting they wait a year on Jey Uso, but wait a little longer, like have people salivating for this moment, and then when you give it to them, it blows the roof off the place.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to work. Obviously, I think Drew's going to be in the picture here to get something going at Clash of the Castle, right? Like,
right. I think it's a bigger story with Jey Uso beating Drew McIntyre than Damian Priest.
That's true. You also have Punk involved in that as well. Maybe yep. Down the road you see the four of them in some kind of fatal four-way. Maybe that's where we culminate at SummerSlam or Survivor Series, something like that.
I could see that.
What else is going to happen with the Judgment Day, though? Because we've been talking about the Judgment Day forever as possibly like the MVP of what's going on television, considering the fact that Roman hasn't really been on television, despite the Bloodline still having their amazing storylines. The Judgment Day has that and more because they're all there all the time. Now we're missing Rhea. Dom can't wrestle, right? We're kind of left with Finn and Priest and Big Head. And Finn getting grabbed by the chin by Damian Priest tonight, and both of them being told what to do at the end, stand here, you stand here, right?
Yeah.
It does seem like AJ was right. He said this last week. Priest is on his way to being a good guy.
Yeah, I think the vision for Priest as a babyface was always there. There's definitely an implosion coming. I think it's coming quicker because of the injury to Rhea, because of what's going on with Dom. And there's absolutely zero doubt that Rhea Ripley's coming back as a babyface. There's no way that you don't care because Liv Morgan is on a war path and she's headed down a heel path. There's no way you don't capitalize on that when Rhea comes back. So right. There's really no place for Judgment Day as a faction in the next 30 to 60 days.
Right. Yeah, it's just tough what's happened and where they're going to go. But then at the same time, we're still sitting here wondering what's going to happen. And that's good for us as fans. So,
yeah, they've kept it interesting.
Extremely quick commercial break. Last one. When we come back, we're going to get into the Kabuki Warriors defending against Jade and Bianca, Cody defending against AJ, and what we could possibly see moving forward for the rest of the summer. DJ and PC right here on ChairShot Radio Network.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, welcome back right here, DWI Podcast. Follow us at Podcast DWI right there on X. DJ is with us from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Follow them at The Mindless Pod. You can listen to us every Friday morning, them every Saturday morning right there on ChairShot Radio Network. Don't forget about TheChairShot.com and ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. We are like immediately off of Backlash from France. DJ and I both had some libations, one of us more than the other. You can figure that out with your own ear holes. Maybe DJ should have hosted the show, but I think we're making it happen.
We're doing fine here, buddy. We're all good.
It's just a little quick recap for everybody Sunday morning here that's going to pop up for everybody right here, ChairShot Radio Network. You already knew that. Kabuki Warriors, Jade and Bianca, was that like a consensus title change on your show as well as the DWI podcast this week? Because I didn't listen to you guys yet.
It was mine. I believe Rob and Jason picked the Kabuki Warriors to retain.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe they did. There was a reason behind it, but again, I would have to go back and listen to my own show because it's been, 48 hours and I'm old. So I don't remember shit like I used to. but yeah, I think I'm the only one who picked.
You and I both, buddy.
I think I'm the only one that actually picked Jade and Bianca to win this one.
Well, for you. Screw you, Rob and Jason. This was a really fun start and a even better ending, but what happened in the middle there? Like, they got confused and they for some reason had to get to the double armbar spot. I figured that out after like 2.5 minutes of Jade sitting there waiting for somebody to move her into the right position, because that's kind of where they're at with her, unfortunately, and that's the problem, and that's why you haven't seen her a lot. This was, I don't know how much this is going to get talked about, but to me, this is why they're taking their time. It's fine. It's not a big deal. But this is why.
Right. Jade's going to be a star. Like, the presentation is there. 100%. She's got an incredible look. Just oodles and oodles of charisma. She's putting the pieces together. But I question whether she's ready for this type of role just yet. And I think that's kind of where Jason and Rob may have been coming from, where they thought the Kabuki Warriors might actually win this one. And somewhere in the back of my head, I may have thought it too. But I just, the way they were running with this,
it's still tag team wrestling, though, so they'll be fine. But, I mean, that was...
You can protect her.
That was just really fucked up.
Yeah, and I think that was a combination of things. Because at one point, the mistake was actually Kyrie's, because she went to cover... It was either Jade or Bianca, and the ref's like, you're not the legal person. Right. But then they just kept... There was like a whole bunch of pieces that screwed up. It wasn't just Jade. It wasn't just Bianca. It was a whole bunch of things. And when Kyrie wasn't the legal woman in the ring, and the ref said, hey, you're not the legal one, but then he let the match continue as it was, that's as much on the ref as it is on the workers.
And the funny thing is they solved it by Asuka tagging Kyrie to get back into the ring, right? Like, it was, was bad. I guess you're right. I possibly wouldn't, but it still, you know, the lion's share of the blame is going to come down on Jade from the loudest of objectors.
I've already seen it. There's a notable, and I won't mention him by name, but there's a notable IWC voice who was basically said, I don't want to see another Jade Cargill match until she's ready. I cannot disagree with that sentiment. I think you keep her out there. You keep her moving. You keep her with Bianca.
She's fine. She's fine.
She's fine, man. I mean, was she green?
This could have been a language barrier thing more than anything between the ref and Kyrie, to be honest with you, and a sound thing where she couldn't hear that she was the legal woman. Like, you know, your point is true. It just doesn't look good for someone who is already in question.
Right. And like I said, you're going to see a lot of it over the next 24, 48 hours to a week. They're going to be very critical of her. I think it's unfair. There were a lot of things that went wrong in that little 2 to 4 minute span. I think at some point, Asuka being the ringleader there, kind of the ring general, should have slapped a rest hold and pulled things back in.
Right.
And then, you know, like I understand they wanted to get to the armbar spot. Like that was a big pivotal centerpiece to this whole match. But I think they could have found a better way. Just, you know, like I said, slap a rest hold on somebody and let's figure it out. You know, maybe call a bit of an audible. The finish was incredible. And, you know, for Jade to hit the move the way she did, Kyrie to take it the way she did,
that was
incredible.
Insane. From missing the gorilla press in the, like, moments, like a few minutes beforehand. And I don't know, it looked like Kyrie was supposed to push off on one shoulder and didn't really. I'm just saying, that was first, I didn't watch back. I wanted to push back, but I knew we were trying to do this and get it moving right away and put it up and stuff for everybody to listen to us.
I'm going to throw a little – go finish your thought.
That was about it. That was about it. If you're going to hit off that, go.
People need to have a real conversation about Kairi Sane. I think she's great, but I have seen a few instances where she's been in there with women who I know can go, Charlotte Flair, and Kairi has not looked good. So while I don't think she was entirely to blame here, I definitely think some of the, and I know the because she's an IWC favorite and she's one of mine, but if we're going to lay fair blame across the board here, we've got to lay some on Kyrie. She has been a little sloppy in some spots that I've seen her in.
Let's move on. Let's get to the main event.
Let's do that.
Cody defending against AJ. What was the chant happening when AJ was in control that I'm completely unaware of? Do you have any idea? Because they did it all night whenever he took over for a little bit.
Let me see if I can pull it up in chat, because we talked. I'm in a group chat with a bunch of people.
Is it
and
like a,
first
is
we
it,
were trying to figure it out. I think it's actually a French thing, and it has to do with the word phenomenal. And I think Michael Cole at one point either got it explained to him and then he explained it.
Well, either way, the ability of this crowd after everything they gave for 2+ hours, and kudos to WWE for taking these non-Big 4/5 pay-per-views and turning them into under 3-hour shows where we can rotate the talent through 5 or 6 matches and we don't have to have 8, 9, 10 matches on all of these shows. It doesn't have to be that way, right? We're coming up to Queen and King of the Ring. This can be another This might be longer because it's in Saudi. For some reason, they love a long show, but I don't see this being more than 6 matches. There can be some bigger names that take the show off, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have Becky. We didn't have Logan Paul. We didn't have Sami Zayn. 3 championships not defended. There's going to be some championships not defended here at the end of May. We did get Cody. We did get AJ Styles. It's really unfortunate for AJ because this is something. This is one of 4 guys ever to win the NWA and WWE championship facing off against each other. A dream match come true, honestly. And we all knew who was going to win or at least not lose their title. We all knew.
Yeah, this is one of those matches I always say this was about the bell-to-bell content. Because you know who's going to win. You know what the end of this story is going to be. You're watching the product, what they're painting on the canvas, and I think these guys delivered a classic. Yeah. And for AJ Styles, what is he, 44, 45 now?
Even later, he's almost 50. He's like 47 or 48.
47, 48, okay. Yeah, so for him to go out there and still go at this level, absolutely incredible. It was every bit as good the match as I thought it was going to be. They gave us, I think, what, about 27, 28 minutes?
At least.
And
46. He's 46.
46 minutes?
No, he's 46 years old.
Oh, okay, 46 years old. Okay. So, yeah, it was incredible. And pivoting back to what you were saying about the show, the card length and the card matches, they gave everyone time to cook. And a lot of times that ends up being a complaint from a lot of people is, oh, this match only got 7 minutes.
27 minutes, 18 seconds.
Okay, so I was close. I was close at 27 minutes. They gave everybody time to tell the stories, and I'm kind of liking the less matches on the card.
You talk about that. Let's break it down, right? Rob likes numbers. Okay. Maybe Rob will listen to the end of the show. The Bloodline and KO Randy Orton got 19 minutes, 38 seconds was there. So they got 20 minutes.
Okay.
Bayley, Naomi, and Tiff went 13 and a half. So they got more than 12. Almost 15. Damian and Jay, 15, almost 16. The tag title change, just under 17 and a half. And in the last match, just under 27 and a half. I would rather have that show format with stories being told in the matches and be just under 3 hours than have 10 matches in a 4-hour card where I get 4 of the matches that are under 6 minutes.
I agree with you. I'm with you on that one. Like, I don't want to see too many, you know, as I joke, even though I love this trilogy of matches, the 40-minute Gargano Ciampa, you know, marathons that we used to get. I like a good match. 20 to 30 minutes is probably my window. And if I can get a couple of matches that are that length and then a few that go between 10 and 20, I think that's a good all-around wrestling show for me. That gives people enough time to do their stuff and tell their story.
I give this show a solid 8.
I give it an 8. I agree with you. I'm there on that one. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time.
If that women's tag match was smooth, we're looking at 8.75, maybe a 9.
I'd say about an 8.5 for me if that match had gone a little smoother. And I feel bad saying that because I actually enjoyed the match.
Oh, I did too.
Like, clinically, too. I'm looking at it like...
It was just a really bad, long-lasting error. Like, the problem that happened lasted for, like, more than a minute.
Way too long.
Yeah, it was bad. Anyway, man, what a show. What a crowd.
France. I threw this out on the app formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah,
that crowd did not give one single fuck about the IWC nonsense that we do on a daily basis.
No,
and sometimes fans and analysts and podcasters, I think we get a little too deep in our own heads and our own thoughts with what we want from a wrestling show or what we think they should book or who we think they should sign. That crowd went out there and watched wrestling the way you're supposed to and had a good time with it, and they reacted in all the right spots. They made the players feel welcome, and it was an absolute pleasure to watch that show.
You brought it full circle, man. I said at the beginning of the show, knowledgeable and respectful, properly timed fans, and that's basically exactly the point you accentuated there. If you had to give a match of the night, what would you give it to? I'll give you a second to think about it while I tell you mine. I would have to say the very first match was just stupid good. I have to go with that street fight with the surprise.
Yeah, I got to say, I was going to say the women's triple threat match because I really, really enjoyed that one.
That was great.
The tag team match, the street fight at the beginning is probably match of the night for me.
All right, let everybody know where they can find you as we get out of here on a really cool immediate reaction and wrap up here. Make sure you check out DWI this week. Make sure you check out Mindless this week. Make sure you check out Bandwagon Nerds. DWI and Mindless will have some reaction from Raw, post-Raw, and some more news this week. So check that out. DJ.
Hey, yeah, you can find me at The Mindless Pod on the app formerly known as Twitter. You can hear us on the Chairshot Radio Network, thechairshot.com, every Saturday. That's the Mindless Wrestling Podcast with myself, Jason, and Rob. And like we talked earlier, you can find us on YouTube and Facebook, The Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Hi, for everybody at the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, DJ, Rob, and Jason, everybody over at DWI, PC, AJ, and DP, follow me at PC Tunney. Follow us at Podcast DWI, Chairshot Radio Network. Check it out!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.